Welcome to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care Alliance podcast, exploring challenges and best practices in palliative care approaches for individuals in long-term care.
Sarah Murphy is a licensed practical nurse and the Assistant Director of Care at the Hamlets Long-Term Care Community in Vernon, British Columbia. She has been working in long-term care for 8 years and has served as a care service lead, a care coordinator, and now the assistant director of care. She and her family enjoy exploring all the Okanagan has to offer. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
I'd like to start by asking you about your journey to becoming a nurse and how that has led to now being an assistant director of care.
I guess my journey to become a nurse actually started when I was going to school about 14 years ago for social work and 2 years into my bachelor's program. Unfortunately, the university that's close by here took away their Bachelor of Social Work program. And so I thought, okay, what's something else I could do in the healthcare field? And started looking at the LPN program. Now here I am. Yeah.
Wow. It sounds to me as in terms of an assistant director of care, that'd be a bit more heavy on the administrative side.
Yes, it is. A lot of sort of overseeing, trying to do as much education as possible with staff and working with care conferences and admissions and families.
I would think your social work background would come in very handy.
It definitely does. Yeah. You know, just another kind of tool in my tool belt to be the best, I guess, assistant director of care I can be.
Can you tell me a little bit about the long-term care community that you serve in?
So the home that I work in, the Hamlets, there's 100 long-term care beds. We also have assisted living. I believe it's 47 beds, but our long-term care is 100, 85 of which are funded by Interior Health, and then 15 of those are private pay beds.
That's a real mix, then.
It definitely is. It's definitely a huge diversity of residents that we have here.
So that makes me think that it must be a challenge for your staff in terms of dealing with quite a range of community members and residents.
It definitely presents its challenges. We try to do as much education as we possibly can. We're getting back to being able to have workshops or have speakers come in and talk about different disease progressions. So when you do have that much diversity to care for, it definitely helps to have additional education pieces for the staff.
Right. And I would think it would be difficult to fit that in because I know that long-term care homes are also a very busy place.
Yes, yes, it is very difficult to fit it in.
So I'd like to ask you about pre-printed orders, because I understand that you have some opinions around them. But first, I'd like to understand a little bit more about what pre-printed orders are.
It's a set of orders that we provide to physicians with essentially end-of-life medications already kind of set out as to what they want. It's kind of a blanket or an umbrella order. You know, if we have a resident who's approaching that end of life period, we send these palliative pre-printed orders to the physician and they order essentially at that time all the medications for, you know, pain management, restlessness, congestion, if there's any nausea or vomiting. So that way, kind of right at the beginning, sort of everything is covered, which is great, but at the same time, kind of takes the communication piece away between the nurses and the physicians. Sometimes the physicians won't hear from us again until that resident has passed away when we send out that notification. So
when you say pre-printed, then it's kind of a standard. This is a standard list of the medications we would give and what's been approved.
Yeah.
So really, does that take away from the individuality as well?
Definitely, yeah, because everybody's, I mean, journey through palliative care and end of life is obviously very different.
Again, back to the communication that you mentioned, if, you know, it's handing a piece of paper or emailing or faxing something, mm-hmm. is different from a nurse having that conversation with a physician?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a few physicians who are very good at communicating to us that they want to be involved sort of in almost every step of the way. They'll provide us, you know, maybe the medications for pain management with instructions that if we feel that those medications aren't managing the pain appropriately, or if we see that maybe the resident's becoming a little bit more restless, they want to be contacted prior to ordering those medications. Which is good because it keeps that communication line open between the nurses and the physician, as well as families. As the physicians order new medications, we're involving the families in that conversation as well.
I guess the nurse often plays a role of a liaison, right, between the physician and the family?
Yeah. So with having the physicians be in constant communication, it sort of it sets it up better for the nurses to know what's expected, where, you know, if we're given this blanket order, it's kind of up to my discretion of when I start these medications and what I'm seeing.
I see that the nurses, of course, are the closest to the residents, right? They see them every day. I think you would probably notice symptoms and changes.
A lot of times it's the care aides too who will come to us as nurses and let us know, you know, hey, we went into this resident's room this morning to, you know, provide care, and we've noticed that, you know, they just don't appear comfortable, or, you know, they're very congested, and that's a lot of the times how where we get our information, and then we would go and do our assessment and kind of figure out where to go from there.
So what would you do with pre-printed orders then?
So they definitely come with, you know, the pros and the cons. The pros being that, you know, if it's Friday afternoon and you can call the physician and get the orders that cover everything, and that way over the weekend, if anything changes, you've already got the orders, you've already got the medication. So it helps in that sense. But I think the really big piece is it just takes away that communication with the physicians. They should be involved. In my thoughts, they should be involved in each step of the process and each step of the journey. I feel as though there could be maybe adaptations made to the pre-printed orders or the palliative physician orders that, you know, okay, I'm prescribing this, but maybe don't start it until we've had a conversation. Please phone me Monday morning to review the medications, essentially, and to give an update. Just sort of more step-by-step, I guess, instructions. And I hope that doesn't sound like I want them to kind of handhold us, which isn't. It's just to make sure that resident is getting the best care from everyone who's caring for them possible.
More of a team approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it is the language too. Like we talk about palliative care versus end of life care, and the pre-printed orders. So what we call them here is palliative care physician order forms. A lot of times they're not being sent or faxed to the physicians until we're looking at like a, you know, a 30% on the palliative performance scale. So we've already reached that end of life. So palliative care can be provided for, you know, months and years prior to that end of life stage. But by calling them palliative care physician order forms, it's kind of the language isn't proper. Like they should be, you know, end of life order forms. Palliative care, I think, is something that starts, especially in long-term care, kind of right as soon as they move in. You know, a lot of our residents are moving in at a, let's say a 60%, maybe 70% on the palliative performance scale. That to me is when palliative care approach and that palliative care thinking is the time to start that, is essentially right on move-in. And then as we progress, then it's end of life care, which is very different. And that's when the medications, the comfort care kind of comes in.
Yeah.
I think there's a lack of education around that for care aides and for nurses and even for families. I think a lot of people, when you say the word palliative, they think end of life, imminent, and that's not the case at all. So just trying to find ways to educate the staff, further educate, everyone in leadership and families as well as the residents themselves. You know, these are conversations that should be starting to happen right on move-in or even before move-in, you know, so that we know what their goals of care are at the end of life stage.
I was going to touch on that goals of care part in terms of we have pre-printed orders and how does that mesh with either what the resident or the family is saying about what they would want or not want, right?
Yeah. The orders aren't something we generally receive until we've hit that end of life stage. The resident doesn't really have a say in the medications that we're giving, and families are involved and they have a say, but a lot of times because, you know, they're going through their own grief process, a lot of the things that we might be trying to educate them on about the medications or what the medications are for, they're not really processing what we're saying because they're in their own grief stage right now. It definitely can take away that holistic approach and letting that resident sort of decide how they want their end of life stage to go and what their own personal goal of care is. We hold care conferences for our residents annually, but it's just not something that a lot of people are really ready to have that conversation until they don't have a choice.
And I think it touches now on sort of the value and importance of advanced care planning.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you were talking about sort of what could happen with pre-printed orders in terms of those conversations, do you see also maybe an opportunity for these orders to include information about, you know, conversations that have happened in before we get to this stage?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there definitely should be space provided for the residents' wishes and how they see that process going. A lot of times, you know, they may have those conversations with us or with the nurses on the floor, but maybe not the physicians. So when we just fax off these two sheets of paper saying, you know, please give us the orders for the medications, as well as, you know, there's things on there that talk about like discontinuing routine vitals or discontinuing certain oral medications, as well as giving the authority for the RN or LPN or RPN to pronounce once a resident has passed away. So it covers that, but there isn't any space on there for the resident's wishes to be provided to the physician. So that's definitely something that would, in order to honor the resident's wishes, would be great to have space for that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Sarah. It's been great.
I've never done anything like this before. I appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to the Strengthening a Palliative Approach in Long-Term Care podcast. For more information about our project, visit spawnltc.ca.